Israel, komm in Schma Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Man of 6,000 Years, was written by Lucille Schulberg. Almost 6,000 years ago, the creative spirit began to reveal itself in man. Jubal was the first, the Bible tells us, the father of all singers, all those who handled the harp and pipe. His half-brother, Tubal-Cain, sang too, but his music was form. His songs were shaped from brass and iron. In the ages since then, there have been, here and there, men who are true descendants of these first created men. Their joy and creativity is strong and total. No tribulations can keep these men from singing. No evil can conquer their spirit. Their works gladden the generation they live in. The story today is about such a man, Bernard Rader, a man of 6,000 years in our time.
Father, mother, come look.
Oh, he's hurt himself.
No, mother. I've just come from Cheder, haven't I?
So, you can't hurt yourself in the Hebrew school?
Hush, Schindler. What do you want to show, Binger?
Look at the shin, the iron.
I've seen Hebrew letters, Binger.
But look at the form of them, Father.
Yes?
Aren't they beautiful? You can set them on a table and walk around the table and look at them from the back or the front or upside down. And they're still beautiful. Isn't their form perfect?
The letters are perfect, Binger, because they are in the spirit of the word and the prayer.
The form, Father. I think that's the prayer.
Prayers were exciting in Cherovitz, where Bernard Rader grew up. For most of the Jews there were Hasidim, who gathered joyfully at the nearby court of the famous Hasidic rabbi of Sadagora. Rader's father took him there.
Father, see the old man dancing on the table?
His prayer has form, eh, Binger?
A cup of wine! I'm drunk! Drunk with the love of the Torah! Give me a cup of wine to make me sober!
Chernivtsi itself was only another small town near the Ukrainian border. But it was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Bernard Rader?
Yes?
You are hereby drafted into the army of His Imperial Majesty Franz Joseph of Austria to report...
But he's only 17! I'll be a boy!
Sergeant, is it true the war's over?
All finished, Private Rader. The Austrian Empire has collapsed.
And I can go home? After 4 years?
If you have money for the train. We're stranded here in Serbia.
I have no money, but I'll get home.
How?
How, Sergeant? I guess my legs will have to take me.
So Bernard Rader began to walk, the long walk back to Chernivtsi. He walked past forests and farms. He walked by rivers, through villages. Days became weeks, and weeks became months, and still he walked. He strode across the face of God's earth and spoke to the people and saw them and saw the forms of them and of life itself.
Soldier, get away from here. Look what your war has done to my land.
Soldier, you're hungry. Here's some cheese and bread. Take it with you.
You were asleep in our haystack.
I was tired.
I have a blue cornflower. I'll give it to you.
The form, even of a tiny flower, took on new meaning. And as he neared the end of his long walk, Bernard Rader made a decision that would stay with him forever.
Benger, you've been home now a month. Your health, God be praised.
You're well and strong.
Have you thought at all about the future, my son? It's time maybe...
Father, I've been thinking about nothing else. I want to be an artist.
An artist?
All the time in the war, everything seemed like jagged pieces. But during my long walk, I saw the complete form of God's world. I want to show that form in art, to show God's unity openly, on all sides, with nothing hidden.
Prayer to show God's unity, that I understand. But I don't know anything about being an artist.
See these drawings? I made them.
And you'll work at this?
I'll work.
Benger, to express to God what is within you, that is important to a man. For me, it's prayer I offer at the synagogue. For you, it's being an artist. Could be a fine thing.
Yes, but I must study. And to get to an art school, I'll need a miracle.
Bengala, the Baal Shem Tov, the master of the good name, he lived on the gentle slope of a mountain in Mezabish. The top of the mountain was very steep and sharp. One day the Baal Shem was walking, absorbed in his prayer so deeply, he almost walked right into the air. And you know what happened?
No, Father.
A nearby mountain saw what was going on and leaped across a valley and leaned up close to the first mountain. And the Baal Shem kept on walking.
And so, Father?
So? A miracle. Don't worry, Benga. You'll get into your art school.
The young man picked up his drawings and watercolors and went to Prague and was accepted for classes at the Academy of Fine Arts. Day and night, his universe centered around the academy. For a few hours of sleep, he shared a tiny room with another art student.
Gershon, are you awake?
Huh? No.
Wake up, then.
What time is it?
My sacred hour of decision. 6 o'clock.
You make decisions. I'll go on sleeping.
Gershon, haven't I spent a whole year on drawing and printmaking?
You certainly have, Benga.
Gershon, you're the first to know. I've decided to be a sculptor. Gershon. Gershon, listen to me. Wake up. I must work in stone. That's where the form is. When you see a thing flat, it's a wall, hiding everything. But when you see the whole block from every view, then you see the truth.
They'll make you work in clay first, believe me.
The block of stone has the truth in it.
Benga, let me go back to sleep.
I will work in stone. You'll see. I will work in stone.
Benga, such a big cart and such big horses. What's the occasion?
Climb up and ride with me, Gutsa.
Oh, thank you.
It's a beautiful day. Almost as beautiful as you are.
I'm impressed by the invitation. But where are we going?
There's a big block of sandstone in Zastavna. I want to get it and bring it back here to Chernovitz to carve.
Are you going to carve it into a tombstone?
No, Gutsa. You know I cut tombstones only to make a living. This will be a real sculpture.
Oh, will you have space for that in the yard with the tombstones?
Maybe not. Anyway, I don't want my real work next to my bread and butter work. I don't know where I'll...
Careful!
Oh, perfect.
Benga, my father has that field on the outskirts of town near the railroad station. You could carve your stone there.
The field was a perfect studio, large and pleasantly quiet, except once a day.
Twenty minutes.
Where are we?
No, somewhere near the Polish border, I think. Hey, fella, what's the name of this town?
It's Chernovitz in Romania.
What's he doing, Alex?
Making a sculpture, I guess.
What's that supposed to be, young man?
It's called Birth.
It's a woman?
It looks more like a monster. A woman.
Don't pay any attention to them, Benga. Oh,
they're just God-fearing people, good sir.
How can you say that?
Doesn't God fulfill the desires of those who fear him? Well, those people desire to laugh.
Oh, Benga.
Good, sir. Do you think if we fear him, God fulfills all our desires?
If they're good desires, I think so. What do you mean?
I mean, if somebody has a desire for a beautiful...
Yes, Benga?
For a beautiful... A beautiful... block of stone.
What's the noise down there?
Where's Holtzman, the florist?
He opens at 8 o'clock.
But that's 2 hours from now.
So who should be up at 6?
It's my sacred hour of decision.
Benga, Benga. What an early bird.
I need all the flowers in the world, Holtzman.
Well, give me a minute to unlock, please.
I don't have any money.
Oh, Benga, for gusty corn?
Mazel tov, you'll pay me when you can. Here, take these, and these, and these, and these.
After Bernard and Gusti were married, Gusti's father built a low thatched shed in the field by the railroad station. There, whenever he could spare time from cutting tombstones, Raeder carved. He carved some 15 or 20 sculptures before Chernowitz began to change.
You can put away that chisel, Raeder. Your license to cut tombstones is revoked.
What do you mean? I have my license right here.
And I have a letter from the governor revoking it.
But this is my living. How else can I support my wife?
Maybe some of us don't care. Maybe we don't want Jews making our tombstones. Maybe we don't want Jews here at all.
Once again, Raeder left Chernowitz, this time forever. He and Gusti went to Prague to make their home.
So this is the room where we'll live.
It only looks like an empty storage room in a factory, Gutsa. Really, it's a palace.
And our palace has a courtyard.
They built a pavilion next to the factory for a fair. Isn't it wonderful? All the space I need.
I can keep the stones right in our own backyard.
And all my life I dream of a house with a garden in the backyard with roses and daffodils and nasturtiums.
Now, don't fret, Kutsa. I'll buy you flowers. Look, we have plenty of money. 500 crowns, 524 crowns, 530 crowns, 550, 575 crowns, 579 crowns, all our savings.
Received this day for 1 block sandstone, 579 crowns.
Wait! I'll break the rock so you can haul it up easier if you want it.
No, no, no! No, don't touch it! I'm going to carve it!
That stone became the artist's first famous sculpture, the Bather. In Prague, Rader was able to work all day, every day. He steadily developed his feeling for the form, the volume that sang from every angle, like the Hebrew letters. Unlike Chernovitz, Prague was an international art center. Soon the studio and the factory courtyard became known. Some came simply to see his work, and others...
My name... Emil Fila, Mr. Rader. Some of the artists here in Prague have an association called Manes. Perhaps you know our exhibition hall? You're much younger than most of the people we exhibit, but we would like to offer you a one-man showing.
Monsieur Mayor, may I present Bernard Rader?
That's Aristide Maillol, the greatest sculptor in France.
He asked to meet Rader.
Your figure, the Bather, is beautiful, Monsieur Rader. You have great talent.
Thank you.
You don't work from the clay. For you, it is the stone, eh?
Yes. I need the block itself, the density it contains already before I come near it.
Myself, I build from the inside out.
I enter the block.
Well, we must talk more. Tell me, Rader, have you ever thought of coming to Paris?
Maillot says we should come to Paris, Gutsa.
He's been saying that for 2 years now, Benga.
Gutsa, maybe it's time. We've been in Prague 7 years, good years. I've had success here, but Paris, isn't that where an artist should be? And Maillot, such a grand friend, such a great artist, he's there. We could find a house, not even in the city, and...
I must go to talk to Mrs. Greiner down the hall.
Now, why?
To ask her to take care of the flowers. Can I carry rose bushes in my arms all the way to Paris?
They found a villa with a garden that Rader used as an outdoor studio. It was outside of Paris at Le Vésinet. And after a little more than a year, Maillol was writing...
I am very happy to observe that people in Paris begin to talk of your great art. I am delighted.
Monsieur Rader, we are having a large group exhibition of contemporary Czechoslovakian art at the Wildenstein Gallery. I was going to ask you to let us exhibit a few pieces, but I... really would like all 16. Your work is so exciting, so powerful.
But it was the year 1939.
Kutsa, did you hear the news?
Oh, no, I've been busy with this lilac bush. It's getting a little tired.
Kutsa, listen to me. Hitler has invaded Poland. France has declared war against Germany.
At first, it was called the Phony War. Then the Phony War became real. Hitler's Nazis marched into Paris. And to the outskirts of Paris, Le Vésinet.
Don't answer it, Gutsa.
Can you see who it is?
No. Yes.
It's the police, isn't it?
Through the garden, quick. They mustn't find us.
Wait, I'll bring
no,
some...
No, 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 nothing. This way. Hurry, hurry.
Rader, open the door to the German police. No?
All right, hide then. But listen to this. To Schmetterin.
He's ordering them to smash the statues. Oh, Benga.
Do they think they can stop me from my work? Never. Never.
So flight began.
If we can get to Lyon, Maillot said his friend in America would have visas for us there. We'll travel at night.
Sorry, Mr. Rader, no visas here in Lyon. Perhaps if you went to Marseille...
No visas for Bernard and Gusti Rader here in Marseille. Perhaps if you went across to Spain...
I might be able to get through Spain, but without transit papers, I'm not sure.
No transit papers for Spain? You're here illegally. Guard, arrest them.
Now came many weeks in a Spanish jail for Bernard and Gusti Rader. And then, without explanation...
You are free, Rader. You and your wife have exactly 24 hours to leave Spain.
The flight continued and stretched over years. Madrid to Lisbon, Lisbon to Havana, Havana to New York. And wherever Bernard Rader paused to rest, he paused to work.
We're here, Gutsa. Thank God. New York at last. We're safe now.
Safe? With $8 to our name?
Gutsa, about that $8...
Venga, you didn't.
Gutsa, it was my moment of decision. Wait till you see it. A beautiful piece of Italian limestone. And he'll wait for the rest of the money. It's just what I need for that idea I had.
This piece of stone, Bernard Rader's first carving in America, became his most renowned work, The Wounded Woman. Life in New York did not go easily for Rader, but he went on working and seeking, and in this was his joy. In the autumn of 1961, the Whitney Museum of American Art presented the largest one-man exhibition in its history. Three full floors devoted to the works of Bernard Rader.
Benga, Benga, listen to what the art reviewers are saying. Nothing could be more welcome than Rader's triumphant vitality. And listen to this. The work speaks at every point of an exuberant joy in life. Oh, and there's more. Here Rader stands at the Whitney, swelling and leaping with joy.
This is Bernard Rader, the full fruit of a life of dedication, strength, creative joy, all founded on faith in God and rooted in the simple enthusiasm of a young boy.
Father, mother, come look. Look at the shin, the ayin, the Hebrew letters. Aren't they beautiful? You can see them from the back or the front or upside down, and they're still beautiful. Isn't their form perfect? The form, that's the prayer.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. David Finn, president of Ruder & Finn, Incorporated, and a member of the board of directors of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Finn.
Rarely in the world of art does one find so striking a relationship between the artist's life story and his work as in the case of Bernard Rader. His sculpture has a strange, unexplainable quality, which at first glance seems to be simply the product of an unusual personal style. But as one studies his sculpture closely and learns something of his background, especially his roots in the Hasidic world, it becomes clear that these amazing, twisting, singing forms of his derive from a rich cultural heritage. Each piece seems to burst forth into the air like an explosion. It writhes and dances, shouts at the top of its voice, and seems to say with every movement that life is a crazy, wonderful thing. And, as if to confound the viewer, in the midst of this exuberance, there is a fine, quiet sensitivity. These two qualities, in a way, conflict with each other. The inner sensitivity is so strong that often one wishes Rader would be a little less hectic in his wild cavorting, so that the lovely gracefulness which is at the center of his work would be more prominent and less cluttered. But this combination is the essence of Rader's sculpture. He shows both the voluptuousness of joy as well as its deep beauty. Because of this duality, Rader's sculpture is not quite like anything that has ever been done before. Some of Picasso's recent Bacchic drawings are close in spirit. But in Picasso's work, there is a straightforward expression of joy. Rader goes crazy with excitement and at the same time achieves a remarkable note of softness. There is both frenzy and beauty, and these together strike a note that seems to come from some ancient melody. Recognizing the relationship between a sculptor's art and the life of his people and their history makes us realize that we all have roots that go back deep into our past. With most of us, the connection is less obvious, but it is there nevertheless. Bernard Rader is indeed a man of 6,000 years, as his work clearly reflects the elemental spirit of creativity in man. But his story is important because it opens our eyes to the fact that in our own way, we are all men of 6,000 years.
Thank you, Mr. Finn. Our eternal light drama today, The Man of 6,000 Years, was written by Lucille Schulberg. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Peter Fernandez as Bernard Rader, Carol Tytel as Gusti, Santos Ortega as Father, Bryna Rayburn as Mother, and Guy Sorrell as Mayol. With Peter Laser, Alan Manson, Sam Gray, Ivor Francis, Martin Newman, and Arlene Walker. The narrator was Norman Rose. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.